U.S. attacks against Iraq and against Iraqi targets in Kuwait. Ben Works is our CBS News military analyst. And Ben, we've been receiving some late reports from Baghdad now that say that it appears airports and military installations near the city, near the Iraqi capital, have been hit. What do you say about that?
This strikes me as an orderly way of shutting a country down. We are making war at all of Saddam's most important. One thing I am not hearing is that we are not apparently making war on the innocent civilians of the city of Baghdad. These reports are coming from primarily military targets. At the same time, we are already hearing evidence of a growing attack mounted against targets closer to Kuwait and at the front lines. As we get a more evolved picture, we will, of course, give you every detail that is reasonable to report, reasonable to project, without giving away military security or without unnecessarily concerning our listeners.
We heard earlier that about a squadron of F-15 fighters had taken off from Saudi Arabia heading north. For the uninitiated, how many planes in a squadron? How many crew members in each plane?
Well, there would be, in this case, 12 or 24, and these fighters may operate in tactical groups of six or even two. In the air superiority role, they'll be operating in sixes and 12s. They then may add on electronic warfare planes and a wild weasel to take out enemy radars. In the tactical role, the F-15E, which is the reports we're getting out of the central Saudi Arabian airport, may be operating in pairs against logistical targets and command targets in the theater of operations, which is that area, again, of southeast Iraq and Kuwait itself. This is an area that starts about 6 miles behind the front lines and extends up to the Euphrates River. It is where all of that support is centralized and where the armored reserves are as well.
Ben, I can't stress enough the fact that this is exactly, as you say, the way the U.S. military had orchestrated it, and the important thing is that this started at night. These planes, as you know, have tremendous capability to fly and do their thing at night, and it's just going all exactly as though you wrote a script, isn't it? Doesn't it seem that way to you?
Exactly, and of course they have had 4 months plus to plan these missions, to test these missions in simulation after simulation and to fine-tune it. We have, of course, had satellite and aviation reconnaissance for months, and we can see everything. That is, of course, how shall I say this? We can see where the roads are, all the fixed installations, and we can see the movements day by day in the tactical dispositions of ground troops so that we know exactly where his armored divisions are on any given day. And, of course, a bridge doesn't move, so that we have ample time to calculate where it is and how to hit it.
Okay, Ben, CBS News personnel in Baghdad now tell us that they are hearing gunfire, but they're not sure if it's incoming or outgoing. And we have word from Israel. The Israeli army has announced a state of emergency and has instructed the population to open its gas mask kits, but not to put them on, just to be ready in case there is, we should point out, word from Tom Fenton that there is no indication yet of any Iraqi attack against Israel. A UN Security Council session that had been scheduled for 6 o'clock this evening, New York time, that was less than 2 hours ago, has been postponed at least until 10:30 p.m. this evening. There is a great deal of activity going on in Washington this evening involving the White House, members of Congress, the Pentagon, as you might suspect. CBS News correspondent Rob Armstrong is standing by in Washington. Rob, we would appreciate your sharing any information that you have with us.
All right. Frank, what we know for sure is the president is going to address the nation from the Oval Office at 9 o'clock. We will probably learn a great deal more at that juncture. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney is then going to make an appearance in the Pentagon briefing room a half hour after the president speaks, and again, we will probably get a lot more information. Right now, everything over here is very sketchy. What we do know is that the top leaders on Capitol Hill were notified that this was going to happen. We're told that Robert Byrd, the president pro tem of the Senate, was told an hour before it happened that at 6 o'clock Eastern time, that indeed in an hour operation the operation would in fact begin. Tom Foley received notification. We are expecting a written statement from him at some point. Les Aspin, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, may appear in the House Radio and Television Gallery, and of course we are monitoring all of that.
Rob, if I could interrupt, I have a question for you about the timetable that you've just outlined. It is our information that the planes actually began taking off from eastern Saudi Arabia at approximately 10 minutes of 5 Eastern Time, Washington Time. That would indicate to us that the planes were in the air before the leaders were notified. Is that the sense that you have of this?
That is entirely possible. There is nothing to contradict that I have heard. What Marlon Fitzwater said was that the whole thing began, that we began engaging forces in Iraq and in Kuwait at 7 o'clock Eastern Time about 41 minutes ago. But that to get there from Saudi Arabia could indeed have taken that long. Yes, that's entirely possible and entirely consistent.
Rob, what about what lies ahead? We know that the president is going to speak. Are there any plans for any congressional leaders to make statements for the Secretary of Defense and so forth?
Yes, indeed. Dick Cheney, as I mentioned a moment ago, Dick Cheney will make an appearance in the Pentagon briefing room a half hour after Mr. Bush at 9:30, and we will be prepared to bring you that. We are expecting Les Aspin, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. He will be making an appearance, we believe, in the House Radio and Television Gallery, and we will be prepared to bring you that when he speaks. Bob Dole, the Republican leader in the Senate, may make an appearance. What I was told just a few minutes ago from his office is that he is thinking about whether to appear. Tom Foley, the Speaker of the House, is going to issue a written statement. He so far has indicated that he will not appear before television cameras and radio microphones.
Rob, let me ask you this. You may have covered this before, but let me mention it anyway. Has any member of Congress in a leadership capacity actually come out with a statement at this point?
Not at this point. We are awaiting statements from Capitol Hill, and as soon as we get them, we'll share them with you.
Thank you very much. That was CBS News correspondent Rob Armstrong reporting from Washington. We had a report a moment ago from CBS News in Baghdad that gunfire was heard. Ben Works, the report from Baghdad said that the people there weren't sure if it was incoming or outgoing gunfire. Maybe you could clarify that.
Well, again, they're the men on the spot. So much is going on, they're nervous. But I would say that if you hear gunfire in an air battle from the ground, you're hearing outgoing flak. And this would be light and medium caliber anti-aircraft fire.
Ben, I have to cut in. Lucy Spiegel, a CBS News producer, is on the phone from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, with us now. Lucy, what can you tell us about conditions there?
Frank, it's gotten quiet here. About 3.5 hours ago, we started to hear stepped-up air traffic overhead, mostly traffic of transport planes, large ones, we think C-130s, maybe some KC-135. It has gotten very quiet now. About 15 or 20 minutes ago, we heard an air raid siren. Now that has stopped.
Lucy, this is Doug Poling in New York. I'd like to ask you, and I think it's important to clarify, so far there's no evidence that either Riyadh or Dhahran or anywhere in Saudi Arabia that you know of has actually been hit in any kind of counterattack by the Iraqis, that this is strictly defensive what's taking place. Is that true?
It certainly is true here in Riyadh. I'm not in contact with Dhahran, but certainly that is true here in Riyadh. We have not heard any loud noises or anything that would indicate an attack ongoing.
I thought that might be important to clear up because we've heard so much about Scud missiles and what the Iraqis might try with, but so far this is just prudent civil defense, at least where you are in Riyadh.
Absolutely true. Absolutely right.
All right. Now, if you will, if there's anything else that we need to know or you can tell us, we'd sure like to hear it while we got you.
I think it's so quiet here you could almost hear a pin drop after all the noise of the planes passing over before.
And you're not in an air raid shelter yourself?
Not at the moment, no.
Tell me where you're at, if you can.
I'm on the fourth floor of a hotel.
Yeah, and I assume, I don't know whether, I hope I'm not giving anything away, but I assume this is the same hotel in Riyadh that we're all so familiar with, where there's so much activity going on?
No, I believe you're referring to a hotel in another part of Saudi Arabia.
Lucy, I'm sorry I didn't hear your last answer there, but anyway, is the city darkened? Has it been blacked out?
I'm looking out the window now. No, I see lights all over.
And what about power in the hotel? Do you have it?
Yes, absolutely.
What about gas masks and chemical gear? Have you donned that? Have you been told to put it on?
There is actually no one to tell us to put it on. Some people have donned it and some have not.
Have they given you any information, the military there, as to what's going on?
No, they haven't. They haven't. They have deferred all questions until after the president speaks.
And you haven't heard anything from Daron. We've lost contact pretty much with Daron. How about you? Are you in contact with him at all?
No, we are not. Apparently, my understanding, and this is listening to the network back, that the power has been cut there, and we are unable to get through on our telephone.
So it looks like there's more of a civil defense emergency in Daron rather than in Riyadh. Would that be accurate, do you think?
I would think so, yes.
Well, Lucy, thank you very much, and you take care of yourself. And we're going now to,
Robert Berger.
Robert Berger in Tel Aviv. Robert, are you on the line?
Yes, and I'm in Jerusalem.
I'm sorry, Jerusalem. Well, tell us what's going on there.
Well, so far, there's a strange kind of quiet here. The sirens have not been sounded. Most of the reports coming across the radio are coming from American reporters in Baghdad or Saudi Arabia, but an initial state of emergency has been declared. The Army spokesman has told people that they should take out their protective kits. Everyone has been issued a gas mask here in Israel, and people have been told to get these out, to open up the boxes. Until now, that's been forbidden. They've been told to open up the boxes, to have the kits at hand. But so far, people have not been told to put the gas masks on. People have been told to stay at home, to go into a sealed room, which most people have set aside in their homes. But so far, as I said, the sirens have not gone off.
Robert, I want to clarify, and I think we need to stress again, so far as we know, nothing has been hit or attacked in Israel or in Saudi Arabia, per se. As far as we know, the military action is the United States going after targets in Iraq and Kuwait. So far, there's been no counterattack.
That Israel has not been attacked. Sorry, did you hear me?
I'm sorry. Would you repeat that? I think we had a little cross signals there.
Okay, what I was saying is it appears, it seems very clear that Israel has not been attacked because, as I said, the sirens have not gone off, and they would go off immediately in the event of any kind of missiles coming in. I would just remind everyone that Saddam Hussein has threatened to hit Israel with chemical weapons, with missiles, if in the event of an American attack. So the Air Force and so on has been on a high state of alert, and everyone's just waiting to see now.
All right. Robert, this is Frank Sedapenny. I have a question for you. We've just received a notice from AP. Israeli radio stations are saying that Prime Minister Shamir and Defense Minister Ahrens were at home receiving reports on the assault on Iraq. There were no immediate signs of a threatened Iraqi attack on Israel. What can you tell us about anything that might be going on among the upper echelons of government in Israel?
Well, of course, the Army and the higher echelons are meeting now to see just what eventuality is going to take place. I mean, the question in everyone's mind in Israel is Saddam going to carry out his threat or his promise to hit Israel? They take these threats here very seriously, and as you said, these leaders are obviously holding very high-level consultations at this point to see if any kind of attack is going to take place. So far, there's a strange kind of quiet here. As I said, I'm actually rather surprised that they haven't sounded the sirens yet. Probably most people in Israel are still asleep.
Robert, one question on how much advance warning and notice the people of Israel would have. How quickly could an attack be detected, and how much time would they have to prepare?
Well, that's been a subject of intensive debate here for the past couple of months. Some say it's about 6 minutes, that if Israel has the proper radar detection and intelligence, they would have 6 minutes from the time Iraq launched a a missile to get ready before it would actually hit Israel. That's the time I guess it would take for a missile to fly from western Iraq into Israel. That's the minimum. I suppose a maximum amount of time would maybe be 15-20 minutes.
What would be the nature of any Israeli response? Is there any informed opinion on what kind of weaponry might be used?
Well, Israel has threatened a devastating, crushing response. The Air Force would probably be the prime instrument in this kind of a thing. Also, Israel does have missiles. Israel has not really advertised that much the kind of weapons that they have, but the feeling is that the Air Force would do most of the work in a case like that, probably very heavy bombing. But also, Israel does have Jericho surface-to-surface missiles and could fire those at Iraq as well.
Robert, unfortunately, I didn't hear the last thing you said. What is the status of the Israeli nuclear program, and what if any indication is there that if a chemical attack were launched on Israel, that Israel would respond with nuclear weapons?
Well, I think that's pretty unlikely. Of course, Israel has never publicly stated that it has nuclear weapons, although it's widely believed by just about everyone that it does. It does have a nuclear reactor in southern Israel. I don't think that the Israelis would use a nuclear weapon unless it was really a situation where Israel's existence would be threatened. I think they would answer a chemical attack with a devastating conventional response. A lot of bombing and possibly missiles. Israel, of course, also has chemical weapons and even biological weapons.
What about the Syrians? Are they anticipating any attack by the Syrians?
That is a source of concern.
I don't know. I think we've lost Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Our line has gone out. We might point out that communications throughout the Middle East and throughout the Persian Gulf could best be described as dicey at this point. CBS News in London tells us that the phone lines to Baghdad have been cut. We've lost communication on and off during the evening with Saudi Arabia. We were able to get through moments ago to Riyadh, but we haven't been able to reestablish contact with Tehran. So there is a massive communications problem. Our coverage of the outbreak of the air war in the Persian Gulf includes comments by Ben Works, who is a CBS News military analyst, and CBS News correspondent Doug Poling, who is just back from Saudi Arabia. Ben, perhaps you could expand on some of the implications as you see them at this point of the military activity that's underway.
Yes. Now we have been having action for almost an hour and a half now, haven't we? And the window is closing for Saddam very rapidly now. His capabilities are severely limited. It would be surprising to me personally that he has any aircraft left in the ground, and the window of danger to Israel is now getting narrower and narrower.
Ben, I'm going to have to interrupt again, and with apologies, Dan Raviv is standing by in London with the latest from the British capital. Dan, go ahead, please.
This is WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul, 6 till 7 o'clock. Skies are cloudy, 26 degrees in the Twin Cities. Rich?
Well, Denny, as we all know by now, Iraq's capital of Baghdad is being hit by air attacks tonight as the U.S. says the military operation to liberate Kuwait has begun. It began a little less than an hour ago now with air attacks, both missiles and planes, we presume. Let's go to CNN in Baghdad, where Bernard Shaw is viewing this. The scene from the Rashid Hotel.
West of our location and down to the south as another wave of anti-aircraft fire goes up into the air.
It's like the beginning of it, John. There's all this anti-aircraft fire in our vicinity, but the explosions, this one a huge rose-red explosion probably 10 miles away lighting up the sky. The guns near us have stopped firing. I get the impression that planes are just coming right over the city and these anti-aircraft are picking them up, but they're just going on to their designated targets. And as I said, as we have noted, there's been no apparent hits on any of the attacking aircraft that we can see.
Gentlemen, we are seeing an example of surgical bombing. Explain that, Bernie. There have not been any wild bombs going off out of pattern. You can barely hear the planes. And throughout the last 2.5 hours, 3 hours, whenever there were exchanges, they were in specific areas. It seems like 2.5 or 3 hours, Bernie, but I think it's been about an hour. I don't want to be frivolous about this, but we actually, Bernie, you may be right, but we won't know till tomorrow how surgically precise these bombs were. I'm sure tomorrow the Iraqi authorities, I hope, they will let us go out and see some of what's been going on, and I think that if any civilians have been hurt in these raids, we will probably get to see them, maybe not some of their more important targets.
What I meant by that is bombing in Baghdad proper.
Yeah. Well, it's still a remarkable sight out the window here. The noise has calmed down, as I'm sure you can tell. I've got my head in the window, or at least in the vicinity of the window again, so we can look out here and get a better view of things. There's another string of tracer rounds going straight up into the air, pointing straight up out in the west of our location, and it's continuing to happen. There are other air bursts going up and exploding up in the air, and from time to time the night sky will light up brightly in the area of, maybe more to the south into the west of Baghdad. Now, there seems to be a good bit of activity. We see a lot of lights and flashes in the sky, and you can hear some fire that at this distance almost sounds like M16 automatic weapons fire. Of course it is, and it's big guns at great distances away from where we are.
You know, and reflecting on my years in Latin America covering a civil war or two and having been shot at and seeing bombing and this kind of fighting, aerial fighting, I must say that this is a new experience.
This is quite something, isn't it, Bray? They're bright flashes of light as these big bombs go off in the far distance. Yeah, Bernie, go ahead.
I'm going to leave you for a moment. I'm going to crawl over to the other side to see what's going on over there in that quadrant of the city.
Bring us back a full report, Bernie, and we'll keep looking out here on this side of the building. More anti-aircraft fire going up. We don't see any major signs of fires or anything like that on the ground in Baghdad right now. And as we look out, we see more and more, we do actually, now to the north of our location, we see some bright flashes of light on the ground, and now due west of where we are, there's more fire going up. There's a bomb that has come down now. You'll probably hear the report at the refinery in just a minute. We saw the bomb come down, we saw the flash, and you just heard the explosion. And it was a big blast of bomb blast that came through this window. I'm going to back away from the window now. I'll still try to get a view for you, but that was a rough one for me. It was very far away, and I'm sure it was not dangerous, but it was the biggest blast of air that I felt from a bomb so far. Peter?
Yeah, that could have been as heavy as a 2,000-pound bomb. The windows in the hotel room have held. Maybe they are bulletproof. Maybe they're also bombproof. The waves are coming basically every 15 minutes now. It seems maybe 3-4 planes. They're unloading their hardware and then heading off. These pilots, these American pilots, are flying through a lot of flak, a lot of anti-aircraft fired from the ground. The gunners are firing a lot. The U.S. planes don't seem to be targeting any of the anti-aircraft weaponry at this point. They seem intent on hitting specified targets and then getting on their way. John?
Peter, could the reason that they're not worried about the anti-aircraft fire be that the planes are flying high enough so that the anti-aircraft fire wouldn't be effective against them anyway?
No, I think it would be too difficult to try and figure out where the anti-aircraft fire is, John, at this point.
Yeah.
Don't forget, this seems to be a strategic attack on Baghdad. It is not preparation, I would think, for a ground assault. So there is less need to specifically knock off every weapon that's going up to you.
All right, Peter, I'm going to go back to the window because I see some bright light off to in one direction from our location. And I see more and more air bursts. It looks like they're 100 fireflies off in the southwest of where we are now. It's just that, and the fireflies are flashing brightly one after another. It's really quite, it's like sparklers on the 4th of July at a great, great distance, many miles away from where we are. The blast that came through this window a few minutes ago was very much like the first blast you feel when you're out at the countdown clock at Cape Canaveral for a space shuttle launch. It was just a powerful wave of hot air that came into our location here, and the sky is still alight. We see some more anti-aircraft rounds going off one by one. There's no great noisy barrage of anti-aircraft in Baghdad now, but we do still see things, and I'm going to look out the window and see if I can see where this bright light is coming from. I actually can't. It's in the direction, I guess, generally to the south of where we are, but I just, because of the way the hotel is built, I can't see around enough to tell you precisely where the bright light's coming from.
It could be anywhere away to the south of the west there, John. It's the skies are lit up frequently, and out there somewhere there was a terrible pounding going on, and it seems to be much more serious than it is here in the center city. And it has been continuing now for about an hour and a half, and obviously the U.S. Air Force is serious about its mission here tonight.
Absolutely. And there could be some planes from other coalition members as well. We have another, I won't call this a lull, but well, there's an airburst directly, not directly overhead, but it's visible up in the sky rather than down on the ground, out in the southwestern direction generally from where we are. And as I look out, Peter?
What I think is very eerie about this, John, is that quite a few of the explosions, most of them haven't been accompanied by the sound of aircraft. I don't know if we're getting cruise missiles coming in here, or guided cruise missiles, or these planes are flying very high. We did hear at least two or three aircraft come over the low over the hotel, but we really don't know where all this flak, all this bombing is coming from. And I get the impression that the anti-aircraft fire is all over the sky. They don't seem to have much idea either, John.
Yeah, and I think we might be able to hear something if, and we do hear something now. I think this is probably a coalition airplane fire again. There's a loud rushing sound like the sound of a jet engine nearby, and a lot of anti-aircraft going up after it, but no sign of any connection between the anti-aircraft fire on the ground and the skies above. I'll attempt to get back to the window and have another look out and see what I can see down below. And well, you can hear it echoing off the concrete buildings in downtown Baghdad, and it could even be that some of the echoes that we're hearing now are from the area of the Tigris River, which is very near where we're located. You can hear some more sound of anti-aircraft fire. And Peter, that sound that we just heard with the echo after it, was that did that sound to you like an airplane sound?
No, I think it's just anti-aircraft fire. They've got Russian weapons here. They've got all manners of equipment, of which I'm not overly familiar with, John. So it could be they're just noises in the night in one sense.
Exactly. Noises that we're not too pleased to be close to, but we'll continue to be. There's no place for us to go. We've been told to stay where we are, and we'll certainly do that. Yeah, there is another lull, it seems, and what we'd like to do is check in with our other colleagues up and down the cable news network and see what they can report to us. So for now, we'll stand by in Baghdad.
John, Peter, Bernie, thank you very much. I'd like to make a correction and an update on an earlier report we had from a pool reporter, Jim Hickey. We had said that he was...
This is Rich Holder
in
the CC Radio News Bureau. We're going to take it back for just a moment. You've been listening to Bernard Shaw, John Holloman, and Peter Arnett, CNN reporters reporting from the Rashid Hotel in downtown Baghdad. As soon as we get back, as CNN gets back to those reporters, we'll join CNN. We'll tell you at this point that it's now 3 minutes past 7 in the Twin Cities. At 8 o'clock tonight, Twin Cities time, President Bush will make a statement from the White House on the beginning of what they have dubbed Operation Desert Storm. A statement read for reporters by Marlon Fitzwater said the following. This is a statement from President Bush. The liberation of Kuwait has begun. In conjunction with the forces of our coalition partners, the United States has moved under codename Operation Desert Storm to enforce the mandates of the United Nations Security Council. As of 7 o'clock tonight, Operation Desert Storm forces were engaging targets in Iraq and Kuwait. As we said, Marlon Fitzwater said the president will speak to the nation from the Oval Office at 8 o'clock tonight. That's 56 minutes from now. We, of course, will rejoin the network just momentarily here. We'll be taking you both to CBS Radio out of New York and their correspondents. And as we indicated, we'll also go back to Baghdad whenever we get reports from the hotel there from CNN. The action began shortly after 6 o'clock tonight. It was confirmed anyway. The first confirmations came from the U.S. military in central Saudi Arabia. They announced the war against Iraq had begun. What we are seeing now is attacks primarily, we presume, through the use of cruise missiles. We've had no reports of any aircraft activity attacking targets in Iraq at this point. But the attacks are continuing, and it's now been confirmed that the operation to liberate Kuwait
is now underway. Let's now join
Let's go back to CNN, Denny.
Saudi military calls massive, and they underline the word massive. They say there has been no indication of any sort of Iraqi retaliation so far, that no missiles and no planes have been sighted coming from Iraq towards Saudi Arabia or indeed any place else. They emphasize that this could change and that we are to stand by. I have here the remainder of the Poole report on the launching of the strike that basically fills us in a little bit, that the first wave of F-15s took off about 3 hours and 10 minutes ago. Right now, near this airbase where we are, everything is fine. But again, the Saudi military sources say there is no evidence of any Iraqi retaliatory strike against Saudi Arabia or against Israel. That could